All right, we're pretty sure that it's recording now. When I was a student in yeshiva in the late 80s, this might come as a shock to people, but I was involved in the Purim spiel. I remember one year what we decided to do was a video. This was technologically advanced in those days. So I wore a light color suit, and I got one of those funeral yarmulkes. You know, they were solar powered. It's the sign that you're not supposed to be wearing it. And I went with a guy from yeshivas wearing sweatpants and a T-shirt and a backwards baseball cap. And we stopped people on the street in Borough Park. And I told him that I'm from the Columbia School of Journalism, and we're doing a study about Jews. Would you mind answering a few questions for us? And they're all very friendly. Not all of them, but some of them were very friendly. Shouldn't overstate my case. And we had three questions that every person was asked. The first question was, do you consider yourself Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, or Ultra-Orthodox? And inevitably, they would say that they were Ultra-Orthodox. So the follow-up question for that was, can you explain the difference between Orthodox and Ultra-Orthodox? That was question number one. Question number two was, do you consider yourself a Zionist? And the answer inevitably was no. And to which way would say, do you visit the state of Israel? Yes. Do you have relatives there? Yes. Yes. So why are you not a Zionist? That was question number two. And of course, question number three was, Ellie, can you guess? Would you send your son to YU? And that was followed up with, why not? And needless to say, it made tremendous fodder for a Purim spiel. I'm going to focus on the second question here today. Not that the other ones aren't worthy of their own shiurim.
Would you send your son to YU?
My wife is a theorist, you know. So oftentimes, people make decisions of whether they're a Zionist or not a Zionist without really thinking about it much. As we were pointing out at the time, that people who were farbrent, shall we say, non-Zionists, acted in ways that you would expect Zionists to act. Right? You know, do my feelings about Syria, somewhat negative. Therefore, I don't visit it, I don't support them, etc. If I get up and say I'm not a Zionist, but on the other hand, I'm so supportive of the land and the people who live there, etc., and inevitably a large amount of them have family, I think someone's locked out, by the way, etc., that live there and they send money there, etc., and they send their children perhaps to learn there for 1 year, many years, etc., it's very hard to understand, you know, why or why not someone's not a Zionist. Just like these people probably were not thinking much about the question beforehand, I believe that we don't either. I believe that we don't think, why are we Zionists? Yes, we understand. It translates into the fact that we send money to Israel and we visit Israel and we support Israel. We write letters for Israel, whatever else we do. But why? What is this something? Is this a psak halacha that we're following? Is it just the gut feeling we have? Why is it that we are Zionists? And if it just feels right to me, why does it feel wrong to them? So that's why I wanted to spend a few weeks this summer discussing the issues, the underlying issues of Zionism. As I said on Shabbos, spoiler alert, I consider myself a Zionist. I spent 2.5 years in yeshiva at Hezder. My nephew is going to the army. I have a sister who lives in Israel. But the question is why? What's the basis for it? And also to give myself a better understanding of why if you think about it, the majority of Orthodox Jews are not Zionists. And why should that be true? So we're going to break it into pieces, and every week we're going to go through an issue. We start off this week with the Gemara Ksubis, perhaps the most well-known of the Gemaras related to this. And this is a fascinating machlokes. Tan Rabbanu La'olam Yida Adam Be'eretz Yisrael. People, the Gemara says, a person should live in Israel. Sounds pretty Zionistic. Even if the majority of the city is a non-Jewish city, how many non-Jewish cities are there in Israel? Ramla? Probably shouldn't live there. But even in that case, the Gemara says, you should live in Israel. If I could live in Borough Park in New York, the Gemara says, or I could live in Ramla in Israel, it's preferable to live in Ramla, all else being equal. Shakol hador b'eretz Yisrael, domek misha yesh l'oloka. Whoever lives in Israel, he's considered to be a person who does have a God. B'chol hador b'chutz l'oretz, domek misha ein l'oloka. Shinema l'aseis l'chem, es eretz kanan l'yos l'chem l'elokim. It says, I'm giving you the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, in order that I will be to you a God. B'chol she'ein l'dor b'eretz Yisrael, ein l'oloka. So Rabbi says, wait a second. Everyone who lives in Denver, they don't have a God. It says, if we are worshipping idols.
This is Talmud Bavli, I'm sorry.
That is correct. I think that's what it says in the second word on top. And we make no secrets. So it says by David, this is what David, Mi Amar Al Mi, David says to Shaul at one point, towards the end of Shmuel Aleph, during the time that Shaul was chasing after David, at one point David finds it necessary to run to Moab and to hide out there for a while. So he says, so David says to Shaul, Ki gershuni hayom mehistapeach benachas Hashem lemor lech avod Elohim achirim. He says to him, Shaul, you said to me, go and worship Avodah Zarah. Did Shaul ever tell him to go be Oved Avodah Zarah? Is that true? This is the proof text. Because he made him live in Chutz Laretz, it's as if he made him be Oved Avodah Zarah. So, this would seem to be a somewhat Zionistic Gemara. I think we could agree on that. It seems to be very clear in what it's saying. Rav Zera have a kamishtamit minei de Rav Yehuda debar ramesek l'Eretz Yisrael. Damar Rav Yehuda kolola mi bavo l'Eretz Yisrael over be'ase. So he quoted a second opinion. He says, whoever moves from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is over a mitzvah ase. Shenemar bavelo yuvav v'shamayu ad yom pakti osam ne'um Hashem. As it says in Yirmiyah, I'm sending you to Bavel, and there you will remain until I bring you back. Rab Zera, what does Rab Zera hold about this? Ahu b'chli shareis k'siv. He says, no, that doesn't mean that we have to stay. It means that the chli shareis, they came with the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to go to Bavel and they're going to remain there. But we can come back. For Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda say about that? As you respond, Siv Kachrina, Hishbati Yeschem Benosh Yerushalayim B'tzvakos, O Ba'yolas HaSodeh. So that's a different pasuk that says that you have to stay there. Rabbi Zera, Ha'hu Shalom Yalu Yisrael B'choma. So that's different. Since we have a machokis, let's go back. Between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Zera is, should you move from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? Right? Rabbi Zera says it's a mitzvah, a big mitzvah, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's an avera. That's a pretty far points of the spectrum. What's the reason for it? So we went back and forth. Now we are up to the point where Rabbi Yehuda says, there's a pasuk which says you can't move back. And Rav Zera, the person who supports moving to Israel, says, no, you just can't go back b'choma, with a wall. We'll discuss what that means. You'll note the name of this sheet is Sheyol Yalu b'choma, which means we're not going to ignore that. We're going to pay attention to it. Right? Rabbi Yehuda, Hishpati Achrina Ksif. There's a difference, the pasuk for that. Rabbi Zera, Humi Boy Rekhili Rav Yossi Rav Chanina. It's for Rav Chanina. The Amr, Gimel Shvulash Halalu Lama. There were three oaths that were made. Achash Lo Yaru Yisrael Bechoma. One is that Bnei Yisrael agreed that we would not come back as a wall. We'll see what that means. V'achash Yishbiya Karsh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael Shal Yimridu Bo Vas Olam. Next, we agree that we will not rebel against the nations of the world. And the third oath was that the nation of the world promised they would not oppress us too much.
Where are these oaths coming from?
This seems to be an Agadic tradition. Now it's interesting because the person who is saying that these in fact are an oath, that we cannot go up Bechoma, that we cannot rebel against the nations, that is the opinion of the person, Rav Zeira, who supports Aliyah. So it seems that there is the opinion of Zeira, who supports Aliyah, but as we'll see, only on an individual basis. And then there is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who is opposed to Aliyah, even on the individual basis.
Understand the not being able to go back.
So if you look at Rashi in number 2, Rashi explains Shelo Yagu Bechoma Yacha Biyad Chazaka. The Jews cannot come back together. They cannot move back to Israel with a strong hand. En masse, correct.
Why?
Because that's what it says. Right? So there was this agreement that God told the Jewish people, you're going into exile. When it's time, I'll bring you back. So that is the opinion of Yehuda. Therefore, we can't go back now. As opposed to Reb Zeira, who says, no, as individuals we can, we just cannot go back en masse. Now this Gemara, let's put it in perspective. The simple implication of this Gemara is that maybe an individual can make Aliyah, but what happened in 1948 arguably could be very problematic. Because 1948 would seem to be a case of where we went back en masse. Right? And this isn't the matter that this is a machlokes. This is the Zionistic opinion. Right? Rav Yehuda says no one's going back at any point. So even if you tell me, okay, we don't follow Rav Yehuda, we'll follow Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira is the opinion that says Shelo Yagu Bechoma. The Rambam, besides his Mor Nevuchim and besides his Pirush and Mishnayos, of course has his Yad HaChazaka. He has his Sefer HaMitzvos. And there's a Pirush on the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Ramban. The Ramban has a Pirush on the side where he disagrees in certain cases. One area that he disagrees in, he'll say that the Rambam lists this as a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. It could be the Rambam has this in multiple mitzvahs, he only counts it as one. And then, of course, once you do that, the flip side is there has to be a list of mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot, according to the Ramban. Because we all have to equal 613. So if I'm going to take some off, I'm going to have to put some back. Of those, one of the most notable ones is the Rambam does not have Aliyah as one of the mitzvahs. And the Ramban disagrees. So the Ramban writes very clearly that whatever the reason the Rambam left this off, I think there's a mitzvah to make Aliyah. There are Mefarshim on the Ramban. So this is a super commentary, we would call it. And the most notable issue is the Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther is notable for a few things. One is one of the few Sfarim named after a woman. He named it after his mother, whose name was Megillas. And he says as follows. So why didn't the Rambam put down there's a mitzvah of Aliyah? He says, Nirri, Kimash Romana Harav, who Rafisha mitzvah Yerushas Arvishivosel, O Nagarak, we may Moshe Yoshua Vadavid. He said, the mitzvah of moving to Israel and conquering the land, that was a mitzvah that applied at the time of Moshe, Yoshua, and David. But then it stopped. Chos man shalo golu me'artzam, as long as it wasn't the Gauls, avol, achas shagol me'arad masam, ein mitzvah zu noheges chedaros, ad eis bo ha-Mashiach. That from the time we were exiled from the land of Israel, there is no mitzvah to move back to Israel until the Mashiach comes. Ki adarabah,
that
The Gemara says it's not allowed. How can you tell me it's a mitzvah if at this point in history, the Gemara tells us I'm not allowed to do it? V'do shirbo shiro yaru Yisrael b'choma. Uma she'omar ha'ramban she'chachom imom ki kivash oras yu melchemes mitzvah zoka shiro nihi emeshubadim lumos. When is there a mitzvah to have a war to protect the land? That's at the time in history when we're not in exile. Marsha Omer Shachachomim Hifligu Bishvach Diras Aretz, and it said, oh, isn't it wonderful to live in Israel? Zu Dafku Bisman Shabes HaMikdash Chayim. Avalachshav Ein Mitzvah Lador Ba. V'chei Pirish HaTosu Shem Gabe Hu Omer Lalos. This is also a discussion that the Tosu says. Let's say a man wants to make Aliyah and the woman doesn't want to make Aliyah, or vice versa. So the Gemara says that in fact, if the man wants to make Aliyah and the woman doesn't want to follow, he has a right to give a get and not pay off the ksuba, because he's in the right. Tosfos indicates, not nowadays. So the Megillas Esther, based on our Gemara and Ksubas that we've just done here, is saying that the Rambam, not a minor opinion, rejects the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, because of the fact the Gemara says Shalom Yalu B'choma, and again I'll remind you another time, that is the Zionistic opinion of the Gemara, right? Because he holds that you're allowed to go individually, but not as a group.
But I don't understand this one. Michael Esther is saying that you got to wait until the Mashiach. That means everybody will come at once, right? Isn't that the whole thing of
correct?
That you're not supposed to do.
No, because again, the problem only exists as long as we're in a period of exile. When the Mashiach comes, we will not be in a period of exile. Right?
This vow is only for when the exile.
Correct.
This was written by Abbas.
Doubtful. Yes.
So this is predicated on these three Shavuot.
Correct.
That the nations of the world won't oppress us too much?
It's a good point. It will be noted. Okay.
So these Shavuos only come into being after the Churban of Bayis Sheni?
Correct.
Because all the proof texts, even the Megillah Sefer says, this the mitzvah of Yushas Aretz is really Moshe Yeshua B'David, presumably before the first Bayis Hamikdash. So based on that, you think, how would even Ezra and Nehemiah come back?
Yeah, that's the right.
Because the bus from Yirmiyahu, all those seem to work. Can't even Ezra Nehemiah couldn't come back from Babel.
So again, Ezra Nehemiah, when they came back with a Nevuah. Chagai Zechariah and Malachi said it's time to come back. The Gaulus is over.
So then why, if Chagai, if their Nevuah was able to counteract the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu.
No, again, Yirmiyahu didn't say you're never coming back.
No, it says the beginning of the proof text he brings is that it says Ad Yom Pakti Hashem, Yom Hashem.
So that is when the Navi says Hashem said it's time. That's Yom Pakti.
So then with Chorban Bayis that reverts back to Ad Yom Pakti.
Correct. That's the idea. The philosophical underpinnings of this would be that God decides when we're in Israel and God decides when we're not in Israel. Right? And when we're in Israel, everyone should go to Israel. And when we're not in Israel, either no one should go, according to Rabbi Yehuda, or individuals can go, but as a nation, we should not take over Israel.
I don't understand. According to this Megillas Esther, it's still possible that the Rambam would hold it's a mitzvah, just not a mitzvah b'choyma, though. He says, nearly kimashle mana harafu lefish mitzvah yerushas haaretz v'shibas la'negarav v'bei yibosha v'shibet David. He goes on to quote that the mitzvahs that we shouldn't go on b'chayma, that's only noyeg then. So it sounds like from here that the Rambam would still hold that it's still a mitzvah on the yachid, on the individual to go up there.
But the problem is you can't have, again, I can't say it's a mitzvah on every single one of you to go to Eretz Yisrael, but you can't all go. But you end up in a logically difficult position there.
Well, is that the
not
same,
the chazaka,
the same
just
thing?
You can't.
One can say it's a mitzvah on the yachid, as opposed to having an organized movement to make aliyah.
Right, so again, so the Rambam, the Rambam does not have a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He never explains why he doesn't put it there, but he doesn't. Right? And the Ramban says, I think he missed one. Megillas Esther says, I don't think he did because of this. Right? That is, right? So clearly you can't say, well, maybe the Rambam does. He doesn't. It's not on the list. Right?
What does the Ramban do about this wall thing?
So well, this, thankfully we're up to number three,
okay.
And then there's so many more numbers to come. but at this point, yeah, these are a Gemara, a Rambam, a Megill. So these are significant opinions, right? This we aren't digging up here. The question is, how do we respond to that? So the Alvas Yonason, written by the Rebbe of Yonason Eipschitz. You know, in my office in YU, I have one picture hanging. It's of Rav Yonason Eipschitz. I'm a fan.
Who is he and when is
he? He lived in the early half of the first half of the 19th century, and he was the rabbi of Hamburg, Germany.
Now I know why he's on the wall.
No, there's just some guy who couldn't get along with him. Right. The Yavitz, it's interesting. I don't know if I should quote this online. If not, Rob Shure will cut it out. But Rav Schechter often says that Rav Yonason Eipschitz was many times the greater Talmud Chacham than Rav Yaakov Emden. It wasn't even close. But Rav Yaakov Emden had the advantage of owning a printing press. So J.J. Schechter might see it differently. J.J. Schechter, who has his PhD from Harvard in Rav Yaakov Emden, I don't know if he has the same view of it. But Schneur Lyman has written some fascinating things on it, if you're interested. The Avos Yonason and the Haftorah for Veschadim coming up soon enough. Vayuvan gam mashdei kosev hishpati eschem benos Yerushalayim b'tzvakos o ba'ayelos ha-sadeh im te'iro im te'oru as ava asher tachvos v'tachvos hu kine renekeva b'tav b'nekiva, sorry, b'tav ha-meshameshas k'nodes zehu pirusha k'nes yisrael tzofcha b'eiro v'o shua im te'iro v'im te'oru as ava neged kibbutz yisraeli Rav Yonason Eipschitz here makes an amazing statement, particularly given when it was said. I think he passed away early 1800s, actually. He lived in the 1700s. He said, let's say we would reach a point in history where all the nations would get together and say, you know what? You can go back. You can go back to Israel. We're cool with that. Okay? Crazy idea at the time. Son of a gun, a century and a half, whatever happened, he said, you still can't go back then. Why not? Because it might not be time. I might have argued, Shelo Yalchum, I can't go with force, but if they allow me to go, that's not with force. If hypothetically there'd be a League of Nations vote where they would say, all right, it's yours, then it wouldn't be a problem. But Yonason Eipschitz says, even if that would theoretically happen, it wouldn't work. The Avnei Nezer, the Sochet Shaver, who also lived long before 1948, disagreed. He said, Daber Masha Kasavti Ba'os Nunvav, Shem Yutan Rishus Rekulam Laros, Lo Yi Yeshvur Derashi Pirish Bechoma Yachabi Yad Chazaka. So if it would ever happen, again, this is, of course, theoretical, it would never happen, but if the League of Nations would get together and say, you know what, you can move back, then it wouldn't be a problem. Because Rashi says it has to be Biyad Chazaka, and that would not be Yad Chazaka. V'im b'rishus ein zeh Biyad Chazaka. L'chvod ha'ir she b'sefer Avos Yonason kosev afilu b'rishus aser. Aye, you'll tell me that the Rebbe of Yonason said not that way? Divrei drasha heim. This is Chumash Sefer. Not talking about halacha. Speaking of drasha. Very nice. Ve'elav kayotzvim lo yazizu divrei Rashi m'komam. 1,000 drashas are not going to move Rashi from what he said. Vagon ma'arizal. Va'atzma ladino lo heyazaz levit mipirish Rashi. And in fact, I'll tell you that Rav Yonason himself, la halacha, would not disagree with Rashi. He's saying a drasha here, but he doesn't mean it l'maisa. So this is an important discussion, right? Whether or not the fact that you have permission undoes the Shvuah. right? The Rebbe of Yonis and Rebbe and Eifshit says that no, it does not. And the Avnei Nezer says clearly that it does. It's fascinating how much in advance of history this argument took place. This was followed up by a sefer which I will quote regularly, the Vayelo Moshe. We do not read Vayelo Moshe at Chalashudis. Maybe that's the next one we have in mind. The Vayelo Moshe was written by? Right, right. This was the Vayelo Moshe. He is a sefer. He has three ma'amaras. I have my copy in the library here. I've been using it. Surprisingly, we don't have one on the shelf that I could find. Go figure. It's interesting. I have three major sforim I'm using, if anyone's curious. That's one. The second one is? Right, Eim Rabbanan Smecha. And the third one is a more recent one. But what? No, Rav Kook didn't really write that much about this. But Rav Menachem Kasher, who wrote the Kol HaTor, which is a volume bigger than the both of them combined, where he deals with the two of them. So in the Vayel Moshe, obviously, this Gemara...
When was Vayel Moshe written?
It was definitely written after the Hakamas Medina. So chronologically, it's first Eim Rabbanan Smecha, followed by the Vayel Moshe. I don't know if he had the Eim Rabbanan Smecha. I'm not familiar with him quoting it. And that's followed by Rav Menachem Kasher, who's unfortunately passed away as well. So obviously this Gemara, as you might have guessed, is a cornerstone of the Satmar theology. Right? This idea, Shelo Yalu B'choma, and therefore it's not that we are necessarily opposed to the land of Israel, but we're opposed to the establishment of the state of Israel, weighs heavily on this, and therefore he needs to respond to the Avnei Nezer. So the Vayel Moshe, the Hinei Ba'avnei Nezer, quotes it, Docha b'shtei yadayim es divrei ha-shoel mi-sefer Avas Yonason. Should change that. Da'afilu b'yashus kol amim chola ha-shvua shalo ra'alos ha-ritz Yisrael yachay. So he totally rejects what Yonis and Eifshit said, that even if you're Yashus, you can't go, he says you can't go. V'chol ra'yoso eino elo mi-roshon Rashi. He said, what's he based on? Clearly what Rashi said. He said, why do I reject him? Because of Rashi. And what does Rashi say? B'yad chazaka. Those are the words. Shekos b'yad chazaka, v'im hu b'rishus, ein ze b'yad chazaka. Permission is the opposite, the 180-degree opposite, he says, of yad chazaka. V'akocha, kosov she'efsha, lozuz mi'pirish Rashi zal. A fair presentation. V'ani tama, he said, I'm very befuddled by this. So I don't understand how he's so convinced that that permission is the opposite of Yad Chazaka, and how he's so convinced that he's going to reject Rav Yonis and Eifshit over it. Hare mikra mori besof parsha shmos ki biyaz chazaka yishalchem ubiyad chazaka miyigarshe meyarzo. What does it say? Who's this referring to? Paro. Uses the word Yad Chazaka twice there. Right? He'll use the Yad Chazaka. He will push us out of Mitzrayim. Yad Chazaka, he'll say, get out of my land. Pirush Rashi Zal, B'Yad Chazaka Yishalchem, B'nei HaYad Chazaka. It's not that Paro is going to, with strength, throw us out of Egypt. It's because of the strong hand of Hashem that will lead Paro to get us out of Egypt. What does that mean? Against the will of Yisrael. Even if Yisrael says, no, maybe we'll stay a little bit. No, you're getting out. So Rashi seems to be saying, they point out, that Yad Chazaka in the Pasuk has two meanings. The first Yad Chazaka is the Yad Chazaka of Hashem, And the second Yad Chazaka is the Yad Chazaka Paro, right? Hashem's going to force Paro, and then Paro is going to force Bnei Yisrael.
But both of which are, at least one is Bar Korsan.
We got a lot of lines still.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah, again, if it was only one that's Bar Korsan, that means there's a second meaning as well.
But at least one place you can put Bar Korsan is without their permission or agreement to it.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. That would support the way
we... Well, let's take a look here. Okay? So he said that there's two different Yad Chazakas in this very pasuk, right? According to Rashi, who we really care about here. Well, who the sefer of the Kra, the Kama Biyad Chazaki Gershem, Vareish Nakat Akos of Lashem Biyad Chazaka, Masha Shoch as Paro as Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. Who Akos of Shahaya Zay Yad Chazaki Shal Paro, Af Kivade Paro, also Shumachama. Oh, Ena Kapirish Neged Yisrael Shere Adarabba, Kra also. What does it mean that what happened eventually? Did Paro go with a stick and throw them out?
He said go.
Or did he beg them, can you please leave?
Yeah.
Right? So the Yad Chazaka does not mean force.
He wanted them out at that point.
He wanted them out, that's for sure. But he did not force them out. It says, So if you remember the day before when Paro says, get out of here, I never want to see you again, Moshe said, yeah, like you said. So Moshe says, we're not going to leave here until all of your servants beg us to leave. And he's being nice about it. He meant you and your servants. This is the marker, right? The Paro mill that was knocking on the doors. What famous niggin is this? No? Paro in pajamas in the middle of the night. Ay, 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 right? That's based on this medrash. Right? That Paro went in his pajamas in the middle of the night. And he knocked on the door in the middle of the night. And he said, he tried to find Moshe in the middle of the night. Right? That's this medrash. Right? It was. So what? Russ, yeah. Thank you for the Edos choir for providing us with that. Right? He said, please bless me so I don't die. His power like they should take me many peronius for taxa when taxak mitraim el haam show you my healing with true dim awesome rot says al karkh im kein have burst no your causing all the it's all power shum kfia o yar khazaka me men I saw. So what do you mean yar khazaka that power forced them out? He wasn't forcing anybody anything. He was on his knees begging. So what's the definition of the word of Yad Chazaka according to Rashi? So it can't mean, according to this, that you're physically forcing it. It's got to mean something else. And if it's meaning something else, if even begging is considered Yad Chazaka, so if they give you permission, that could still be Yad Chazaka. Not a bad argument. And in fact, there's another measure that says, they said they're going for 3 days. On the fourth day, the guy said, oh, aren't you supposed to turn around? He said you have to turn around. I said, what do you mean? Paro said we could go. So what does that say? Paro said we could go equals Yad Chazaka.
I.e. permission.
Right. Which means, when Rashi said, you can't go back with Yad Chazaka, just like Yad Chazaka in the time of Mitzrayim meant with permission, the argument is that so too, that's what the Yodis and Aivshin said, it means even with permission.
He's cherry picking the meaning of Yad Chazaka. There's nowhere else in the Torah Yad Chazaka mean that.
How many times does Yad Chazaka appear in the Torah? No, Mr. Kakadansia?
No, but at the end of the Torah, at the end of Zos HaBracha.
Yeah.
It says, Chol Yad Chazaka B'chol Amor HaGadol. That can't mean and all of Moshe's begging and all the great wonders he did. It's got to imply some type of demonstrative forceful action.
Right.
So I'm saying.
His argument.
He's taking the one Yad Chazaka out of. The term.
What?
Is it far more extensive use of the term here in the Mitzrayim context?
It's not just that. So again, what you're saying, which is probably true.
What I'm saying is he's picking one explanation for Yad Chazaka, but there's an equally valid explanation that's totally the opposite.
Correct. Assuming that we have two, let's say, equally valid explanations.
Right.
So you can't assume Rashi means one thing when there's an equal, right? Well, what the Avnei Nezer did is the Avnei Nezer said, if they leave Yerushus, it's not B'Yad Chazaka. Because Rashi said Yad Chazaka. That's the entirety of the Avnei Nezer. He's right.
If it meant with permission, shouldn't Rashi have said, Afilu B'Yad Chazaka?
Why?
Because if it means with permission, don't go with permission. I might infer, without permission, I can go. If that's what Rashi meant to say, is that you shouldn't go even if you have permission, that's what he should have said.
I don't think so. Again, I think you should not go B'Yad Chazaka.
You have a prior laser bringing it
in. Right. I don't think Rashi has to put in the word I feel. I think I think if he put it in, that would make a very strong case. But I don't think the lack of the word I feel. So you have here, we have, on the other hand, it's the Avnei Nezer said what the Avnei Nezer said. Right? The Avnei Nezer clearly says if you have permission, you can go back. Right? Rav Yonah Steibishitz doesn't say that. Right? The Avnei Nezer claims that Rav Yonah Steibishitz would agree with him. And the Sabra Rebbe said no, he wouldn't. So this is a potential answer to the question of why the Shol Yalu B'Chochoma not bother us? Because we had Rishus, so it's not B'Chochoma. But that is, you can read it both ways. I think that intellectual honesty leads me to say that, yes, there is validity to the Avnei Nezer, but there's equal validity, I think, to the understanding of the Avos Yonason by the Satmar Rebbe. If you take a look at Rashi and Sota, just to get an idea of Rashi's feeling on these things. So Leo says Lemnis, La Ros Bizroa, O you Mishtabim Ramachus, Ella Shagorim Chetim Shaysor be made by Ismishim, Venigzo Reim Shiro Yaru Ella Birshus, Kiriksiv Mi Abachem Becho Amo. Rashi, referring to the end of the first exile, said really the way it should have ended was with Bnei Yisrael attacking and reconquering the land of Israel. However, because we weren't worthy enough, we had to go back with permission. Indicating that Rashi perhaps sees permission as being different than a case of going back with strength. So perhaps, again, this is not an ironclad proof, but one could perhaps read this Rashi as leaning more towards the Avnei Nezer. Then when Rashi says B'Yad Chazaka, perhaps it does sound more like the war option than the permission option. I want to give two other approaches as to ways of dealing with the Shol Yalu B'Chochoma. The Shita Mekubetzes, this is interesting because in the traditional editions of the Shita Mekubetzes, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph is not there. It just isn't. That, again, the Shita Mekubetzes is a conglomeration of opinions of Rishonim, and the stand. I imagine if we took the one that we have off the shelf here, it wouldn't have this in it. However, the new editions do have that. It's not because they made it up. It's because of later manuscripts had this as well.
Was something missing or lost? Or
yeah, again, it's not... If you're going to be missing something, so Kuf Yud Aleph is the last page in Subas. So first pages and last pages are the ones that usually that are the ones that are most likely to go missing. So this is the last. Shita Mekubetzis just quotes. Here he's quoting the Talmidei HaRashba. Hishbati eschem benos Yerushalayim im timtzu es dodi. Hu knesses Yisrael de ka'ami l'umas olam. Achar sheishbi akash baruch es umas olam. Shelo yishtabud, etc. V'kari ho benos Yerushalayim al shem shem achshav Yerushalayim. V'horkama. Lo tishtabdu behem yoser midai. Kadei shed tigrimu lira ore lia avosam. Shelo bezmano. Shakash baruch hu enu yachol lira tzara gadolo li Yisrael shelo yoshiyim. Kedaminim ba'almik sheigia zmano liga hakash baruch hu ma'amil leim melech shigzeirosov kahaman u'machzir l'muta v'miyad heim legolim. Interesting. What he's saying here is, this is what Dr. Polliner referred to earlier. There were three Shavuos here. Just like we swore that we wouldn't rebel and push back, they swore they wouldn't push too much. Why did Hashem make them swear that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot bear to see the Klal Yisrael suffering without responding. And that's why, ultimately, the Geula will come out of a situation where Hashem sends a leader as wicked as Haman, and that will lead the people to do tshuva. Historically, obviously, one cannot ignore the Holocaust. And one can make a strong argument that the Holocaust was a violation of being Meshavit us Yoser Midai. And that is what caused, once they broke their end of the bargain, we are no longer bound to our end of the bargain. And therefore, the Shavua of Shol Yol Chachoma disappeared in the 1940s.
You could also make an argument that you say,
correct.
This is the greatest.
I don't like to rank them. I don't like to play the Letterman top 10 disaster list. Right? But clearly, one could make a reasonable argument that the Holocaust crossed the line and Hashem couldn't take it anymore. And that's why we were given the land of Israel. Right? And therefore, God himself has said that, that's it, you guys overstepped that. Based on this, again, I don't want to say it, but a person could say that that was the reason for the Holocaust. Right? Because Hashem says, when the time comes, I will bring someone as bad as Haman, and that will lead to this. So that's a second approach, the idea being that, yes, perhaps we accept Shelo Yarok B'Choma existed.
So what did the Rebbe say today?
What?
Yeah.
So, I don't know if he had this manuscript.
And when was this manuscript?
He didn't need a manuscript, he had a Holocaust.
He did have a Holocaust, and he wrote clearly that it was caused by Zionism.
Fine, but after the fact, the oath is broken. What did he say about that?
So again, this idea that if they break their end, we can break our end, that two wrongs make a right, I don't know if he had access to that.
He may have said that we broke it first. Zionism didn't start in 1945.
Moving to Israel started, in mass, started in 1948.
No, there were the first Aliyah, second Aliyah.
First Aliyah started in 1948.
What are the numbers? Come on, Talmidei HaGra, it's a, come on.
But Zionism is a political movement.
It's a trickle, it's a trickle.
But as what? A political movement trying to establish...
So Herzl?
The point is, he could have made the argument that Israel. Zionists broke Yeshua first. I'm not saying that I agree with that.
I didn't think you were saying that. I'll be clear. Based on your earlier comments, I didn't think you were going there.
Obviously, the Rebbe thought that it started before 48 because he was denouncing Zionism in the 30s and the 20s.
Right.
In 1939, there were 450,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And there would have been more if the British allowed it.
I was
going to
say, that's a pretty significant number.
Right. How many?
About 30% of the population.
Right. What? Right, but in terms of what percentage of world Jewry was that?
Less than 3.
Okay. So 97% of world Jewry is living outside of Israel. It's hard to say that that is the violation of Shalol Yalu V'choma. Now there are, at this point, there are more Jews living in Israel than in any other country. Less than 50% of world Jewry still. But in terms of the amount of Jews living in any country, Israel is now ranked number one. That's very different.
Yeah, but when Ezra and Nehemiah came back, most Jews stayed in Babylon. I mean,
That's correct.
And there were 60 million Jews right before World War II, so 500,000 is a lot more than
60
3%.
Million?
16.
16, yeah.
It's 500,000 a lot more than 3%.
So again,
it's,
well, it's still in double digits. But the point is, you don't necessarily need to have...
No, it's not.
I think it's far. It's,
you think that 500,000 is double digits of 60 million? Where did he say this?
But still, half a million people, you can't ignore half a million people.
Right, but again, but you can't ignore the fact that, I'm not looking to ignore the people, but again, 450, I would say,
there was an issue of government.
I would say, based on the numbers placed earlier, that 450,000 is less than 3% of 16 million.
I think it's enough.
I don't think we can argue that point.
No, we don't.
It's a mathematical fact.
No, but there was a Yishuv government at the time. I mean, see, you can't ignore. They weren't all just living there.
The other thing is
farming their own little farms, doing nothing.
The other thing is, they were there for shoes.
What?
They were there for shoes. They were there under
But not that. But again, they did not control the government. Rishus or not Rishus, they did not control the government. Right, it was British. Before that, it was Ottoman. Right, clearly they did not control the government at that point, and that was the major change. Right, the major change wasn't. Right.
Rabbi, when was Source 8 compiled? When was that written?
So again, the Talmidei HaRashba would be probably late 13th, early 14th century. Right, again, but the initial source is the Talmidei HaRashba. Rashbash. One more opinion that we'll deal with tonight. In Shofach Shehadir Beri Tisrael Hi Mitzvah Gedola. There's no question that there's a very big mitzvah to live in Israel. Shekol Zman Bein Bifnei HaBayis, Bein Shelo Bifnei HaBayis, whether there is a Beis HaMikdash or whether there isn't a Beis HaMikdash. And the Avi Zakeni? I don't think so. What? With an Aleph? No. The Afzeh, maybe. HaRamban Zalmana Osa Michal Mitzvahs Aseh Kamo Shenemar V'Yerashim Osa V'Yeshavtem Ba. V'cheni das Adoni Avi HaRashbeitz. That is, right? The Rashbash is the son of the Tashbeitz. B'sefer Zohar Akir Shechiber. So he's quoting the, obviously supporting the Ramban, that there is a mitzvah to live in Israel even today. V'af redivei haram zal, shalomana, the Ram being the Rambam, mechal mitzvah sasen komokum, im eina mitzvah nim nesi mitzvah midirabanan. Okay, but he'll agree that it's a derabanan. Okay, there are opinions that say that. Besides that, even if it wasn't a mitzvah to live there, there are a lot of other advantages to living in Israel. The mitzvahs are truyas haaretz, etc. Amna mitzvah zu eina mitzvah kolel sechol Yisrael begolos hachal zeh. Avo hu nimnes kol shezal begmar ksubas beher ka'achon shehi mechal shurush yishbiya kodesh baruch hu es Yisrael lo yimar es akesh lo yaluk b'choma. As it says in there, it's not a mitzvah for all of us to move there because of that Gemara. B'tzeirei b'nei Ephraim ma'kor alem shemar mesakeitz. B'nei Ephraim, after Hantika Sedra, they were ma'pilim. They went too early. That didn't work out well. Amna mitzvah al kol yachid la'alos lador shamna. Rather, it's in mitzvah on the individual, right? I think this is what we were hearing from this side earlier. However, if there are reasons not to make aliyah, if there's things that then you don't have to, because it's not a general mitzvah for everyone. It's a mitzvah, since not everyone can go back nowadays, he's saying, each individual, if it works for them, it's a mitzvah. If it doesn't work, they should be one of the people who hang back. Because Yerida is allowed nowadays for good reason. If I need to get a shidduch, I'm allowed to leave Israel. Right? If I can learn better in Lakewood than I can learn in Panovich, I should go to Lakewood. K'moshe b'yati baruch b'kuntris, im hu rotze laros, v'ayish e'enu rotze v'yitzarach agarish, ulai lo yimotze shomisha, o yimotze b'damim yikarim k'minag hayom. What if my wife doesn't want to make aliyah and I do? So who says I'm going to find another wife? And if I do find a wife, it might cost me a lot of money to get married to her. Chayim im ro badim v'yuchol richam v'yisyayim, as a kozla, v'yimotze shom l'umotor v'v'chutzosh yimotze k'fishachom. Let's say I have kids, and it's going to be hard for me to find a yeshiva for my kids in Israel. Up until recently, this was a very common argument. I now hear the opposite. I hear people make aliyah for the money. But if I have a job here, and I won't be able to find a job there. It's dangerous also. So he basically says that it's a little bit of a pshara. He says, yes, as a klal, there's a problem of moving back to Israel, but that doesn't mean a yachid can't, and doesn't mean that it's not a mitzvah on a yachid to go back. However, each individual has to decide for themselves, religiously, what's best. If I am living, if I'm making a parnasa, my family's comfortable here, and I move to Israel, and I'll find myself in a very difficult situation, right? If my kids have a good school here, and I'm going to move to Israel, and I can't decide what to do. Do I send them to the army? Do I not send them to the army? I'm never going to be able to give my children advice. I don't know what's going on there. So he seems to be saying that's reasonable. The Rashbash is, so the Tashbase is Rav Shimon ben Tzemach Duran. He was one of the great Italian Rabbanim. His son was the Rashbash. Rav, I forget who, Ben Shimon, because it's Shimon ben Tzemach Duran. So he lived, I guess, 16th century, late 16th, early 17th, if I had to guess. Easy to find out. And he says that to a certain extent, yes, it's true that you have Shalom Yahu B'choma, but that's only a commutal. So again, if you had to apply the Rashbash to nowadays, he might not have been supportive of 1948, but he would be supportive of individuals who can, should make Aliyah. And if you think about the way that we act, all of us sitting here in Chutz La'aretz, I think a lot of our Hashkafa ends up being like the Rashbash. I think we all theoretically would like to make Aliyah.
1400 to 1467, Shlomo ben Shimon Duran.
Okay, so it's Shlomo. There you have it. And so he's a Rishon. I thought he was an early Achrim.
Does the Rashbash differentiate between the Ramban and the Rambam in terms of the mitzvah?
One's the Raisa, one's the Rabbanim.
In terms of on the Yachid.
What?
On the Yachid.
Right. So he says,
but it's the Raisa. It's a deraisa, so you're mechuyev to go regardless.
No, but not once there's a shua.
That's only, the shua is only on chayma. Shlo yalo b'chayma.
Right, that's what he's saying. But the bottom line is you can't say that every individual has to go, but they can't all go.
If it's a mitzvah,
But again, that's a logic impossibility. Right? Well, what everybody is a bunch of individuals. And you can't sit there hoping that the other guy will violate the mitzvah.
You said that the thing about the Shavuos is based on an Agadic tradition. Since when do we paskin halacha based on Agadata?
So that's
the essence of the whole issue.
What?
The whole discussion here is based on the assumption that we take the Agadata literally.
That is true, but I think it's fair. It's fair to say that the opinions that we saw all take it literally.
Otherwise, you take it literally.
It's true.
Right. The bottom line is,
it's true, but when we deal with that, it's a very complicated theory. But here,
Try to deal with it literally, so who are we to
right, again, right, you know, I can't poo-poo, you know, Rashi, I can't poo-poo the Avnei Nezer, I can't poo-poo. Right? Even the people who support it, we haven't seen, I'm not saying there's no one out there, but as of now, whoever we've seen has taken it seriously. Right? The
taking it seriously and not taking it literally.
It's not, if the Rishonim take it literally, you have to, you're hopefully you have to take it literally.
Just, we have
can't argue
that we should take it literally. Because you're Mephorish and Agadita does not mean that's the only way you look at it.
I'm sorry?
Because you are Mephorish and Agadita does not mean that's the only way you look at it. It doesn't mean that's the only way the Mephorish looks at it.
But in this case, but think about it. I can go a step earlier. The Gemara. The Gemara is saying that either you can move or you can't move or you must move to Israel based on this. But this isn't a God.
It's not
the Rabbi Barachana Gemara. This isn't anything that's going to appear in the Juggler and the King. Right? These are things that are brought down for halacha in the Gemara, right? It says this is the reason for Reb Zera, this is the reason for Reb Yehuda.
I certainly agree that the idea that Sarah Agadita's teach halacha is the case. I can show you others that do that. The reverse is also true. And even if that's true, it doesn't mean that something is interpreted only on one level. All of Gemara from beginning to end is interpreted. You can throw out either Rashi or Tosfos, whichever one you want, if you interpret everything only on one level.
So again,
all this could be 100% valid. Doesn't mean it's the only way you look at it.
Right. But again, even if there's another way to look at it, that doesn't detract from this way.
It does not. But it does not necessarily mean you're mechuyev to follow what is said here. Any more than when you read a Rashi and he gives you pshat in a Gemara, you're mechuyev to follow that. There's a prasip psak halacha. Very sophisticated, very kind, very contextual.
Right. So again, so if you show me opinions that disagree, that read it a different way, then you're right.
We've just gone through opinions that read a different way.
Based on the Rashi.
What?
No, based on Rashi.
Right.
We've just done that. We just looked at Rabbi Yonasan and Eibshitz.
No, Rabbi Yonasan is
not an
Afrin.
He's not a Rishon.
But not only that, Rabbi Yonasan and Eibshitz says, Rabbi Yosef Eifer says, even if he ever shush shalol yal, it's still shalol yal v'choma. He reads it as strongest reading. I don't see it can make an argument.
But he reads it differently from Avnei Nezer.
No. They try to understand what no one is saying that there is never that when the Gemara says shalol yal v'choma, it means anything but that we can't move back. They try to v'choma. Does that mean by force? Or Bechom means even not by force.
But that's the whole issue.
But they're not. But no one is saying what Carl, I think, wants to say is that was a nice story. But what's it doing in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Which I think is basically what we're saying. So
there you go. Is there a little letter there in this Gemara which says look up the Shulchan Aruch, just like all the other halachas in the Gemara have a little letter there and say that. Is there one here? I don't know. I didn't look.
Well, it's interesting because it would be pointing you to the Rambam, and the Rambam doesn't quote it lahalacha.
So there you go.
Right.
There you go.
We'll see. Okay, so we will continue with this next week.